and do what God wants you to do. I've come to tell you, you might not see that, but you hear me tonight. Now is the time for God to move and send revival in Paris, Texas. Paul said, the night is far spent. Another translation, the Christian Standard Bible, literally references that as saying, the night is almost over. I like the way that David talked about the night. He said, yeah, weeping may endure for the night, but when that sun starts rising, when that little hand moves past the big hand, and it becomes the passing minutes of midnight, I'm telling you, the new day has started and your joy is coming. The sun is coming up. God's bringing you through this. God's bringing us through this. Hallelujah. Come on, it's all right to have a little bit of church on Sunday night. I've come to tell you, God's bringing you through it. God's bringing this church through it. And we are going to see revival that He has been wanting to pour out. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. So let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on, verse 14, said the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you have been nodding off in the nighttime, if you have felt like you have been lulled to sleep by what may seem like the routine of your everyday life, if church has gotten mundane and routine and you've been lulled off to sleep, I'm telling you, God sent you an alarm clock tonight. If you don't get nothing else out of this service, God has sent you an alarm clock tonight. He's sounding the trumpet in Zion, and He's saying, it's time to wake up. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to get yourself ready. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, I'm just giving you the condensed Reader's Digest version this evening, but let me tell you what God showed me. The Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock on Friday morning. And my God, I feel the burden of the Holy Ghost on me right now to share this with you. Hallelujah. But God woke me up at 4 o'clock on Friday morning, and He showed me there was a group of people, apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled people praying in this city. And they were crying out for revival. They were crying out, God, move like you haven't moved in a long time. God, show us something new about yourself. Reveal your glory to us more and more. And as I saw those prayers going up, the Lord took me and He showed me like it was a body of water in the supernatural. And as those prayers went up and they kept going forward and kept going forward, and you never stopped praying and you never gave up praying, I saw the foundations of the deep begin to shake. Amen. And if you understand the principles of how waves work, you understand that when there's a tremor beneath a body of water, as in the ocean, amen, it forms a wave that goes forward. And it does not stop for anything. And as the depths were shaken up, I saw a tidal wave in that spiritual body of water go forward. And I turned my head and I looked back around. And as I looked, I saw the city of Paris, Texas. You say, how do you know it was Paris? I looked and I saw that Eiffel Tower with the cowboy hat on it. Amen. I saw places that I recognize. And I said, God, what does this mean? And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, as my people have been praying for revival, so I am sending a wave of revival like you have never experienced and seen before. Let me tell you something. This building might be most of the way full tonight, but what God's getting ready to do in this city, you hear me right now. This building and this facility alone is not going to be able to contain it. Hallelujah, but there is revival for anybody who wants it. But all you got to do is put off the works of darkness. Wake up out of your slumber. Wake up out of your sleep and get your eyes on what God is getting ready to do in this place. Oh, hallelujah. I feel faith rising in this place tonight. And I wonder if we could just open our hearts and our minds and say, God, well, I want to see it. God, I want to experience what you want us to experience as a church and as a city. There are lost loved ones that have gone by the wayside that you've been praying for years and years to come back home. And if you need something to encourage you, you look at me standing up behind this pulpit tonight, because there wasn't any hope in this world for me. Probably some people gave up on me and counted me out, but bless God, I'm preaching the gospel. Bless God, I'm a youth pastor in Lufkin, Texas. Our youth group has exploded. Our church is having revival, and I ain't going to stop. I'm not backing up, and that needs to be somebody's mentality tonight. I'm not backing up. I'm not giving in. I'm going to see the works of the devil destroyed, and God work and move like he wants to in this city. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody throw your hands up in the air right now. Hallelujah. I just felt to share that prophetic word with you tonight, because parish, you better get ready. Hallelujah, because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's not going to be stopped. The enemy cannot do nothing against it. The prayers of the righteous have come up before God. And the Bible said in James, the 5th chapter, that the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep living for God with everything you've got, from the youngest person to the oldest elder in here. Stay in it with all your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to turn this back to Brother Rios tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do. Amen. His word says in the last days that he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. I believe that. I believe that I'm going to see my family saved. I believe that I'm going to see your family saved. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could all stand for the reading of the word tonight, I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 26. I don't have to say this, but I'm going to be transparent with you right now. It's been a long time since I've had so much indecision and trouble figuring out what I'm going to preach. I'm usually pretty confident. I'm usually not in myself, but in what God has given me. Today was such a struggle, and I printed out 2 messages, and I only have one here with me up here. There's no turning back now, but I printed out and brought 2 messages because I had no idea what I was going to preach. I had a fun, easy sermon to preach. I like it. It's about God's ability. How awesome is that to preach about? But then there was that sermon that I knew that God wanted me to preach that I didn't want to preach. And it's titled Moving Forward. That's my theme for the youth group this year. I should have already preached a sermon under this title in here. But tonight I'm going to talk about moving forward. I know that this is what God wants me to preach. It's already been confirmed to me more than once today. I didn't want to preach it, but I'm going to preach it. Let me read to you. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 says, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward, and he grew until he became very great. Let us pray tonight. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to enter into your house. God, I pray that you have your way. Jesus, anoint my lips of clay. Give me the words to speak. Anoint our ears to hear it. Anoint our minds to understand it, and touch our hearts to receive it, not to leave the same way that we came in, God. In Jesus' name, we magnify you and we love you, God. Let's magnify the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, God, we're so thankful for everything that you've done. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, the blood you shed. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. It says, Isaac waxed great, went forward, and became very great. If we look closely at our scripture tonight, we will notice that Isaac became great because of God's blessings. But it doesn't stop there. Then it says, he went forward and grew until he became very great. Isaac apparently was not satisfied with his initial blessing that already made him great. He went forward and grew until he became very great, as our scripture says tonight. Notice that Isaac began to grow when he went forward. He went from blessing to greatness. He went forward. He went beyond greatness and became very great. The message here tonight is simple. If an individual desires to become great, they must move forward. The Apostle Paul understood this principle when he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3, 13 and verse 14. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." Paul, the greatest missionary this world has seen yet, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, but he said, "Hey, I don't have this thing figured out. I don't have this thing caught. I have not apprehended. I'm not looking back. I'm going to press forward. I'm not turning back. I'm going to keep running this race that God has called me to do." Church, the end result, the prize is worth running. The prize is worth to keep on hydrating yourself with God's Spirit and satisfying yourself with God's Word, the breath of life. The race is worth the fight. The race is worth the obstacles. The race is worth others trying to beat you down and beat you up and throw you down to beat you. The race is worth it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to heaven. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this race called life. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Amen? He said, "I'm not turning back. I will press toward the mark for the prize." Let us remember Lot's life. In leaving the city of Sodom, they were commanded not to look back. But in Genesis 19, 26 says, "But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." The mistake that Lot's wife made was so important that it made its way to the New Testament in Luke 17 and 32 says, "Let us remember Lot's wife." If that doesn't get the fear of God inside of us, oh Lord, the Bible doesn't say she just ran back. It doesn't say she stepped back or even turned back. No, all she did was look back. You know, I don't know why she looked back. Perhaps she looked back to mourn the loss of a life that would never be. Perhaps she looked back to mourn relationships and friends. The Bible doesn't say why she looked back. There may have been some good things to look back on. Memories of children taking their first steps. Memories of dinners around the family table. And sometimes it's not even a bad past that God wants us not to look at. Sometimes it's a good past. Sometimes it's a good heritage, a good testimony. But he is saying, don't dwell on that. Tonight, he is saying and encouraging us, and he's telling us that I have more to keep moving forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I have testimonies. I have experiences with God. I have encounters with God that have changed my life, but I'm not satisfied. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep moving forward into the plan, into the promises that God has for me. This church has a heritage. This church has a mighty legacy, a great past of many powerful men and powerful miracles, but God is not done yet. Thank you, Jesus. He said, Abraham, don't look back on the good life you had. I'm bringing you to a better future. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I have a vision for you, a purpose for you, a legacy for you to leave. David, don't look back on the sweet memories in the field making music as a shepherd. I have a kingdom for you now. Joseph, I know you miss your father, but don't look back on the coat of many colors. I have a coat of royalty for you. Peter, there's nothing wrong with fishing, but I have greater fish for you to fry. Cornelius, I love your devotion. I love your religion, but I'm about to give you my spirit. Don't look back. Church, he has something better. He's got something more. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He's not finished yet in Paris, Texas. He's not finished in your life, nor your life. He is not finished. I wonder if there's any people of God in this place tonight that despite the past, you are going to determine within yourself that you're going to get up and you're going to do what God has called you to do. You're going to get up and you're going to press and you're going to move forward into the awesome promise that God has for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to shed his blood once for all of humanity. He came to complete and fulfill the Old Testament covenant. In Hebrews, he's referred to as a more perfect tabernacle. Jesus' earthly ministry was met with resistance from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He wasn't recognized as the Messiah. He came to fulfill an old prophecy. However, in order to fulfill an old prophecy, old things were going to have to be shaken. Some old laws were going to have to be fulfilled and changed. He healed on the Sabbath, for example, and they didn't like it. It made them upset because these things shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. He had some new ways of doing things, and he didn't fit their mold of what they expected. He didn't fit their mold of what religion was to them. They twisted his motives. They held counsels against him. He cast out devils, yet he was accused of having a devil. Why did they do this? I think it's because Jesus made them uncomfortable. They felt the conviction, and they didn't want to change. They were already righteous enough. Who was this man to tell them they were doing it wrong? We've got to stop looking at the miracles of yesteryears, and let's do what it takes for God to do it again. If we aren't seeing miracle signs and wonders in the church, it's not God's fault. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power will never change. His infinite wisdom will never change. He is still Alpha and Omega. He is still on the throne. But yes, sometimes he uses different methods. In the New Testament, sometimes people were healed by Jesus speaking the word. Other times, Jesus put mud in their eyes. Other times, he laid hands on individuals. He didn't always do the same things the same way. Oh, Jesus, how unorthodox of you. How disrespectful of you to heal on the Sabbath. You know, sometimes we want to picture Jesus as this loving, soft-spoken hippie that they paint on the pictures. But there were times when Jesus rebuked. Jesus did strange things and did things in a new way. However, his disciples still followed him. You know why? Because since the beginning of their introductions to Jesus, they were told, follow me. Following someone or something implies moving forward. Church, God has a plan. Let's talk about the Exodus for a few minutes. God had a plan for his people. His people were not meant to live in Egypt. God had a promise, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, but it took work, it took faith, and it took obedience to his word to get there. God desired his people to move forward. I'm here to declare to this world that I am not an Egyptian. I am a child of God. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I am not an Egyptian. I don't have to succumb to the ways of an Egyptian. I don't have to succumb to the ideologies and the theologies of an Egyptian. I am not an Egyptian. I am a child of God that is called to be separate. I am a child of God that has been called to greatness, to greater things, to a land flowing with milk and honey, a promise. Church, you are not called to be an Egyptian. You don't have to think the way they think. You don't have to act the way they think. You don't have to look the way they look. You are not an Egyptian. God has a purpose, a special plan for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you have the Spirit of God Almighty living inside of you, the Spirit of the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You have power living inside of you. Come on, church. I am not an Egyptian. I'm a child of the King. Come on, are you excited that you are a born-again Christian? Hey, I'm a one-God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling, heaven-bound, born-again believer. I'm marching into the promises and the plan that God has for me. Come on, church, I've been washed by His blood. I've been sanctified by His Spirit. I've been washed clean by the waters of baptism. He remitted my sins. He forgot about them. Come on, are you thankful for the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you thankful that He showed you favor? Are you thankful that you have the liberty to come into His house? Thank you, Jesus. Shortly after their exodus, they found themselves facing the Red Sea. They couldn't turn back because the armies of Pharaoh were on their tail pursuing. They couldn't go to the left nor the right. God commanded them to move forward. There was only one direction. Go forward. He said, "Why are you crying? Go forward." But there was no apparent way to go forward. Sometimes we don't know where our next step is going to take us, but God is commanding us and encouraging us and pushing us along to keep moving forward. There were no boats. There were no bridges. There were no highways. They couldn't swim across, but God said, "Go forward." And when they did, God did something He had never even done before. And Israel escaped on dry land. Church, God wants to do something in your life that He's never done before. Will you take that step forward in faith and in obedience and do what God has told you to do and be who God has called you to be? Come on, I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing God for signs and wonders. I'm believing God for revival in Paris, Texas, in Paris, France, in LA, California, in New York City, in Dallas, Texas, down to Houston, Texas, up to North Dakota, and west to Washington, and east to Maine. I'm believing for revival. Thank you, Jesus. That was your geography lesson for the night. I'm believing God. Keep moving forward. And it may be tiring. It may be embarrassing. But hey, God has provided for us. Thank you, Jesus. The unexpected happened when they began to move forward. There's only one way to move in God's kingdom. Move forward. When we move forward, the Lord will open the door. Move forward no matter what, church. The key to their victory was their faith and obedience to God's word. Throughout the wilderness wanderings, it was simple. When they obeyed, he provided and protected. When they disobeyed and murmured against what was happening, he scolded them, and they had to wander around the wilderness a little bit longer. But church, I'm sick and tired in my relationship with God. I'm sick and tired of my walk with God. I'm sick and tired of sitting in the wilderness snacking on cookies. I want to advance to ribeye steaks. I want to advance to something better. I want to advance to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm not satisfied. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep devoting. I'm going to live my life for God no matter what. When it's good, when it's bad, when I'm uncertain, when I don't know where to go, when I'm going through a valley or up on the mountaintop, I am going to keep pressing forward and doing what God has called me to do. Church, sometimes we're uncertain of where the next step will take us, and we wonder why we couldn't just stay back in Egypt where we already were. Egypt was all they knew. They were comfortable in Egypt. They had their life in Egypt. They were protected in Egypt. Through all those plagues, God protected them. So I'm sure they were wondering, why couldn't we just stay in Egypt? God could have just killed them all. But God had something better. God had a purpose. God had a plan. Moving forward out of Egypt and through the wilderness was scary. And they didn't know where the next step would take them. They didn't know what obstacle they would face next or what enemy they would have to face next. They didn't know. It was tempting to turn back. It was all they knew. It's where they lived. But they were meant for something more. They were called to be separate. They were called to something greater. God had a purpose. Church, it's time to move forward. If the musicians would come, the four lepers, they sat at the gate of the city, just waiting to die, just sitting there. And they said to one another, why are we just sitting here waiting to die? Then they said, well, we can go into the city. If they keep us alive, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. That's pretty simple math right there. That's pretty simple reasoning. They said, why are we sitting here wasting away? Let's get up and move forward. In 2 Kings chapter 7, these four lepers defeated a whole city. They defeated an army after they decided to get up and move forward. And I believe that God honored their decision to get up because he made the people of the city to believe that there was a pursuing army. They heard the chariots. They heard the horses. They heard the armies of God approaching, and there was fear. Hey, guess what, church? You're a child of God Almighty, a child of the King. You don't have to cower in fear. You don't have to sit in your waist. You can get up and move forward. The enemy knows who you are, and you have God on your side. He knows God, too. And God's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. The things that God can do in your life, our finite minds cannot fathom what God can do. These guys, they didn't stand a chance of survival. They were diseased and hungry, but they had a desire to live. They had a desire to be more than they were. They couldn't change the fact that they were sick, but they could change their surroundings. So what did they do? They decided to move forward. Church, your success depends on your desire to move forward. Can we stand tonight? I'm going to move forward. Church, God has something better. It's been good. It's been great. But our finite minds cannot fathom what God is going to do. If you believe that tonight, I invite you to come to the front with me, and I'm just going to ask us to lift our hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign that says, God, have your way, as a declaration unto God and everybody else in here that you are going to move forward. You're going to move forward despite what happened last week, despite what happened last year. You are going to move forward into greatness. God has something great for you. Hey, your job may be awesome, but I believe God can give you a better job. Your ministry may be awesome, but I believe God can give you a better job, a better ministry, a better promise. Come on, church. Do you believe that tonight? It may be tough sometimes. There may be obstacles in the path, but you got to keep pressing forward. It's worth it. It's worth it. The end result is worth it. I want to go to heaven one day, and I want to worship Jesus with you on my side. Oh, Jesus.
Today is the day I've been changed. I've been changed. I have waited for this moment to come.